Welcome to the webcast on November the 6th, 2016, in the Lucy Coleman studio. Enjoying my jazz on this Sunday morning after I visited the Trinity Baptist Church, the 8 o'clock worship services down on Jefferson Boulevard, that famous Baptist church that was pastored by Pastor Elliot Mason. Remember him? You don't. Ah, yeah. Elliot's long time passed away, but there was one of his members there, and he was speaking at the pulpit short, just like Dr. Mason. Listen to that saxophone. Isn't that great? Reverend Tunstall brought a great message. As a matter of fact, it was taken from Hebrews, where he spoke about Enoch and how Enoch was walking with God. And, you know, I marked down a few things in my notepad here I want to share with you, all right? Let me grab it. It's not that I've sworn off of going to church to worship, and I prayed. I did. I prayed. I worshiped, and it was nice. Tunstall is keeping it up. He keeps it plain. He pointed out in the message that death is not the end. He's very practical in his exegesis, because what he does is he, especially for my generation, because that was the older service, the 8 o'clock worship service, where the older people attend. As a matter of fact, Diana's singing.
I dream each night.
Okay, I don't want to hear her.
You say you love me, and you hold me tight. But when I awake,
what happens when you awake? Darn that dream. Yeah, just listen to a little jazz. I thought that was going to be a saxophone number all the way through. I'm sorry for that. You joining me in the Lucy Coleman studio on Sunday. I worshiped at Trinity. I didn't hear any prayers about politics, about Trump or Clinton. He didn't mention their names once. And that's the reason why I went the Sunday before the election day in this country. That's why I went. I wanted to find out in my mind, in my heart, because I remember Reverend Tunstall down on Jefferson and Jefferson and Arlington. Yes, Trinity Baptist Church in Los Angeles. And you know what's amazing is right across the street from it is another Baptist church. I was familiar with their pastor. And then right next to that Baptist church across the street from Trinity is a huge Catholic church. And so, you know, it caused my mind to browse. Oh, my God, look at this. You got three major churches parallel to each other. One denominationally different, but two denominationally the same. And when you really, really concentrate on what we're looking at here, why can't all those churches come together? Why can't each cleric from each church come together and sign a pact and kind of like say, hey, let's just open up these doors and let's talk about the love of God, which is shared abroad in our hearts. One thing I did not like about Trinity is that they had an offering time. And I even put a dollar in. No problem. But what I did not do is I did not contribute in the second benevolent offering, because I think that a local church I should not ask visitors for money, but I didn't identify myself as a visitor. Nice, 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 warm greetings, and it reminded me of the old Baptist churches of old. So Tunstall is still hanging in there, doing it like it should be done. Oh, I hear Mario is rehearsing on the porch out there, and I don't want to hear Mario's music this morning. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put in some more music. It'll be musical in the background, and it won't be as jazzy. As a matter of fact, I was given this CD by a young man that joined a study group that I was given so many years ago. And it comes in, oh yeah, that's it. Comes in so handy at a time like this, because it's just all musical. And if I keep it in the background a little bit, there we go. And then I'll let that mic pick it up. There you go. Now, got that in the background, and I think you can hear me. As I was saying, I was never against attending a worship service. Don't attend a worship service where he is bulldozing you. I listen intently to Pastor Tunstall's message, his lecture. And the reason that I like him is because ever since he's come from Chicago and took over the pulpit at Trinity, he's kept that style there. He did have that old Southern drawl, but since he's been in Los Angeles, he's lost that. Because when he first came to LA and I heard him, I said, this is a Southern boy that moved up to Chicago, because he pastored the Olivet Baptist Church in Chicago. That's where I remember Tunstall from. And he's still here in Los Angeles. And Trinity Baptist Church, one of the biggest, oldest African-American Baptist churches in the city of LA, very similar to Second Baptist. His pastor was Thomas Kilgore. Thomas Kilgore didn't have a son. He had a daughter, and I recall after Thomas died, she preached a couple of sermons there. I don't know where Miss Kilgore is now. I may visit Second Baptist next Sunday. That was, as a matter of fact, the Baptist church that my uncle, Roland Coleman, attended for years. Old traditional churches. It's interesting because of my grandmother, Nanny Coleman, doing a little history spot check for you guys. Man, this is amazing, 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 amazing. Man, I'm thinking about it now. My mind is spinning with history. Here this week, I've been confronted by some of the youngsters and challenged by them. And most of the challenges have come from my age. And this is what I discovered. Let's do the math right now. My mother died in the year 1956. In the year 1956, it was a premiere of the movie The Ten Commandments, starring Charlton Heston. Now, I'm going to do the math right in front of us, and so we can all figure it out. And I've never done this before, okay? 1966, 33, meaning that my mother was born in the year 1933. Let me see if I got that right. Yeah, not 66, 1956. And then, as my mother was 23. No, let me get that right. I have to get that right because I'm trying to get my math right. I'm trying to. She died in 1956 when she was 33 years old. Okay. And And so when you do that, and you do that, my mother was born in 1923. Okay, my mother was born in 1923. My father was born, I believe, in 1922, because they always told me that he was a year older than my mom. All right? And so, you know, I'm just trying to go back as far as I can in history. So 1922, 1923 is when my parents were born. I was born in 1944. So let's keep it within the context. Let me go back to my grandmother. I want to take it back. And all you do is you just count the years back and you can see where your family line is and where I've come from. Anyhow, to make a long story short, here I am in 2016 and I walk into an ancient Baptist church, Trinity Baptist in Los Angeles, and I still was able to pick up some of the cues from my family and their worship and their mannerisms. I applaud Trinity for holding on to. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to make this statement right now. I'm going to plan to go by there because it was healthy. I watched the Ten Commandments last night, and I said, you know, I was watching the movie with the young man, and I was explaining to him the spiritual things. The young man said that he recalls seeing the movie, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston, but he said that it frightened him. And I asked him, what frightened? Oh, the death angel. And I asked him, I said, do you know the true significance of that? And he didn't. And I talked him through it, especially the part of the film when Moses sees this light up on the holy mountain. He sees this fire burning, this tumbleweed, if you will, and the fire doesn't go out. And where Moses approaches it. And then that's where the transaction took place. I was really able to explain to the young man, that's what happened to me. The way that God spoke to Moses through his mind, God spoke to me when I was a young man. And if I was still pastoring, I wouldn't pastor like Tunstall does. Tunstall, I've heard him preach those messages over and over and over and over and over again. Now, problem that I'm having is, why are you repeating that same message over and over and over again? Excuse me. Why are you repeating that same message over and over and over again to people that's been a part of your congregation for years? You know, telling them to, like Enoch, think about, concentrate on walking with God. That was the best part of the message. But God put in my mind yesterday, visit church. I can recommend Tunstall if you are really looking for traditional Baptist type of African American Christian theology. It's not going to be tainted with too much stuff. There's a little bit of Tunstall's opinion about Adam. And he, you know, he could take that pulpit liberty to do that. It was a nice gesture trying to draw home his central message that all of us should remain in an obedient state in terms of relationship with our Heavenly Father. I like that. I like that. That's interesting. In the background here, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I guess we have to think about that often. But I'm going to tell you guys the truth about the matter of following God and following righteousness. There's no turning back for me. I don't know how to. Turning back to what? I was telling the young man while we were watching the Ten Commandments yesterday, I said, I remember when God spoke to my mind like that. I remember. It was clear. I was 23 years old, man. It was the most gracious time of my young life. As I reflect back. As I look out and see the beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon that I'm beholding, that I'm living in, and I think about my afternoon, I just may go visit a friend. Just go visit a friend. I don't think I'll stay home all day. The afternoon is too beautiful. But when I go, I'm going to take God with me. Because I have an obligation to do that. I don't have an obligation to try to be holier than anybody else, to be self-righteous in any way, but I do have an obligation to speak truth. Just to speak truth. See, my friends, we get in the way when we're not ready to hear the truth that is spoken. Speaking truth. Truth that is spoken. Thank you for coming to my site. Those of you that keeps frequenting the site because you're looking for certain subject matter that I'm going to talk about. There was one that I was going to put up. I told my friend Ramey that I was going to place it up. And I thought about it, and I didn't want to shake many of you up. But you guys, let me have this conversation with you a little bit since I'm only 17 minutes into an hour webcast. And I don't have it up on the other. I only have one computer screen up, and that's the one that I'm doing this on. But do you know what an executive order is? An executive order is an order that has been put in motion. In most cases, you can find this on whitehouse.org. And I think it's executive order. Oh, let me see if I wrote it down. Wait a minute. I was going to do a webcast on it too. Very important. Here it is. Yes, here it is. Executive order on whitehouse.org. If you have a computer, obviously you have one. You go to Executive Order 13603. That order was put on whitehouse.org in the year 2012. And in that executive order, it tells what would happen if there were wide-scale riots and upheaval about this election, and the executive order would mean that President Obama would remain in office. And as you read down on this particular executive order, it details or outlines very clearly what would happen in this nation. And I believe it's section that was referred to me, section 502. As you read down on these executive this executive order. This is in case of an emergency. All of the Constitution and the laws that were in the Constitution are basically suspended, and this executive order is how the country would be run. And my friend advised me to go Section 502 and to read it aloud. And when I read it aloud, he says, correct. What did that just say to you? And it just popped off the top of my head. I said that the citizenry of the United States, at the behest of the government, will be constricted to work in concentrated efforts such as camps, fields, and whatnot, and that we would have to work without compensation and be told what to do. I said, this is a bill tantamount to relegating the American population to slavery. And this friend of mine said, exactly, John. You're an intelligent man. You can read. All right, if you guys are praying, right? You believe in speaking to Jehovah God? I'm serious when I say this. You pray that God will keep our country at peace. Because of the voting for either of these two idiots that are running for the highest office in the land, we need God to forgive us Americans of our grievous, most egregious, grievous sins. Well, I know people don't want to hear no talk like that. Man, I ain't no sinner, man. What are you trying to do to me? I ain't no sinner, John. You keep coming up with this sinner stuff, man. Ain't no sinners. What you mean? A gracious sins by denying God, by having to quarrel about whether you're going to give somebody hospitalization if they need it, by allowing our caste system, which is the social class, the middle class has been wiped out. Most of us that are working is a part of the slave class. They pacify us a little bit by putting out a new car now and then. It makes us happy. But when you really look at it, things are wearing out. And since things are wearing out in our environment, well, I just want you to think about that. Because that thing is right there on the whitehouse.org website. And it explains everything. They even talk about the food they're going to feed you. And the food that they're going to feed animals. And in that particular clause, that must have been 702, I forget what it was. It looks like they can feed us dog food if they wanted to. And we couldn't do anything about it because the government's going to do what's most expedient. Now, I'm keeping my eyes open because I'm one of those naysayers that told you guys that it's not going to be an election this year. I know what I said. I've always doubted this government. And it is only through, and I'm not talking about these extremist Christians that think that America is a Christian country, because she is not. America is a pagan, heathen country. Okay, now let me share with you why I said that. Okay? Now I want to go to the next number here. All right. America is a pagan, heathenistic country because it has no central God to place her trust in. She has no God. America's God has become the want of wealth and gain and power over the other person, as opposed to the power to not suppress the other person. Looking up the window of the Lucy Coben studio, I see my neighbor with her daughter. I remember one day the neighbor came to the door and she said, I wonder if you could loan me $10. And one of the boys said, don't give her the money. You'd never get your money back. And I said, that's not why I'm lending her the money. I'm lending her the money because she said she has a need of it. And she'll pay me back if she cares to in the future. Well, she did. I live with my neighbor. She's not black. She's not white, she's Hispanic. Raising her daughter, living in this city along with me. She is my sister. And I was trying to tell the young man a lesson, trying to teach him a lesson. She didn't come to you, did she? Who did she come to? And she called me Papa. Because she knows how old I am. She remembers when I was teaching Bible study in the garage back there. Yeah, because she and her family used to be in the backyard next to me, listening in to what I was saying, especially on a hot Sunday morning when we have the sliding window all the way open. Those were grand days. I remember those times. See, I can turn my mind back to that. Now, how do I, and I think, yeah, this is a good place to pause it. Now, how do I teach? Well, I teach by how I live. I teach by how I calm down conflict. I was kind of harsh to a young man yesterday because he's moving too slow for me. I want a man to move quicker, faster. But I was harsh, and I went to him, and I said, you know what I said to you? I was wrong. I just said, I just want you to get better. And to my surprise, he apologized to me and said, I know how much I frustrate you, and I'm working on that. You see what I'm talking about? Conciliatory. We have to learn how to live with one another, whether we be white, black, whether we be Muslim, Christian. And I'm not an ecumenist, because ecumenicist, or whatever you call those people, they try to blend in all of our religions. Let the Buddhist believe what he believed. Let the Catholic and the Muslim believe what they believe. I'm Protestant. Okay, and so I come from a history that is, my strain on God comes from a history of protesting other things. As an apologist, you can see that. I protest the slightest discomfort to the doctrine that has been preserved in the Bible. Not man's doctrine, forget him. Forget the man, his institutions, his libraries, his money, his treasure chest. You know, you can forget that. Because when God's will happens, and God's will sometimes happens, it comes through the means of judgment. I like what the Bible says. All of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in our bodies, whether those deeds are good or bad. Bad news for people that don't like the Christian message. And see, that's why I don't like Christianity. You're always threatening me to hurt me. Why would God want to hurt me? No, God doesn't want to do anything. Are you hurting anyone else? Come on. Are you willingly, knowingly, and I'm not talking about when a guy comes up to your car and tries to wash your windows and you don't pay him because you didn't tell him to do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're an employer, and somebody comes to you, can do the job, needs a job. They have four kids. The husband walked out on her. She needs a job, but she doesn't dress towards your accommodation. She doesn't have any clothes. She hasn't worked in a year and a half. You know that she's qualified for the job. She won't be at the front desk, but you still pass her up and give her to that little college preppy. And the little college preppy stays on the dang phone all day, doesn't know how to coordinate anything, because she's not ambidextrous. She can't do two different things with two different hands. But the one with four kids could. You just didn't like the nail polish that she had on her hands. See, that's what God's going to judge us for. Those things, you call them little things, but they're huge. because you hired Safe, and this person staying in an apartment that you hired with three other people, and all they do is drink and party all weekend, and the mother with three or four children would stay home and try to raise her children, and the income that you could give her to raise her cost of living and her ability to be a decent citizen is hampered. Now, God's going to judge you for that because you willfully, rightfully, by choice, choose to bring pressure on another person. That's why I couldn't personally be in the shoes of Mr. Trump or Secretary Clinton. Because, man, when you mess with God's elect and every human being that's born on this planet, don't you forget that God knows their name. God knows their pain. Every human person that has died on this planet, that lived the life and died, and the life is the most precious thing that we as humans have. For God has given us life. In the Christian church, we call it eternal life, because the life that we are now living in this present body, when that life is changed through eternity, I know secularists don't believe this because there's no way for me to prove what I'm about to tell you. But I believe this, that if you live rightly in a godly way, never harming anyone, never having foul intentions towards, listen to me, young people. Y'all got young little bodies. Listen to me. Don't go to sleep with foul intentions on your mind about other people. The Bible verse reads something like this. Neither give place to the devil, nor don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's meaning don't you go to sleep with wrath stored up in your heart against another human being. Regardless of what they've done to you, I've had people steal from me. I've had people lie on me. I've had people accuse me of doing things that I've never done. I can't hold it against those persons. You know what I have to do? Just as God, and I believe this, I can't prove this to you either. Just as God forgave me, just as He forgave me, I have to forgive others. Now, this isn't difficult to do if God speaks to your heart. That's what I was telling the young man. Because when God speaks to your heart and you know His voice, well, whenever you do anything negative or wrong to somebody else, His voice is telling you, you know that wasn't me, that was you. And so it's very easy to negate this whole thing by saying, there ain't no damn God. I don't believe in that. John, you're full of crap. That's what's the matter with you preachers. You bring guilt on people. Now, when you do like that, when you respond like that, you're not responding to me. Guess who you're responding to? Yeah, I'm going to put it on you. You're responding to God. Because when God spoke to me and called me, He called me to be His spokesman. You see, sometimes we need other people like me to talk to other people like me. Because you see, you can hire a pastor, and he going, you know, that's one thing that Tunsil didn't do in that message. He didn't give the people the consequence, though he did talk about Lucifer a little bit. He was trying to warn the people not to be on the side of Lucifer. And you know they have a TV series called that. Man, it seems like Netflix is worshiping the devil with all the movies and stuff they're putting out. But that's the want of the world. Now, we can watch those shows and everything. God only knows. I don't know what a godly person would get out of it. The writers have to be on the verge of total insanity to think that those kinds of things are marketable. But in this society, they are marketable because we have no God. We have determined in our own selfish right that God does not exist. And so since God does not exist, we do not have to act as if he exists. We don't have to listen to those ancient stories from the Bible. John is going to always turn someone towards God. Well, John is a nice man, but John's kind of crazy because he can't prove none of that stuff took place. Well, why are you feeling guilty then? Listening to me, because some of you listening to me right now are feeling extremely guilty. You know I'm telling the truth. And wait, don't turn me off yet. Why are you ready to turn me off so darn quick? This could be the way that God is trying to reach you here. I don't know who you are, but you do not have to turn me off right now. I want you to set through this with pain and listen. What if I'm right? Okay? What if I'm right and there is a thing so big? Wait a minute. I'm talking about since the first man. Now, some of you think that he was a monkey trying to stand up straight and straighten up his spine. You go ahead with that. I'm talking about Homo sapiens, us humans. I know there were times when we didn't have a written language, but then something sparked and we began to write it down, to pass it on. I find it extraordinary that as I study the religions of various people in world religions, I have a couple of nice texts here that I can read up on that from time to time when I have absolutely nothing else to do. And I find that God is speaking to us through them. And it is a most remarkable, remarkable thing. As a matter of fact, I have all my PowerPoint slides of world religions. And what I'd love to do here on my website, and I think I will, since my classes have been cut and I probably won't find myself teaching world religions for a while, I'll do it over the internet. Why not? Do that, and so all of you can hear about these marvelous, wonderful religions around the world and let you see how God majestically speaks to all those people. This is the way I believe it. And I'm not one of those crazy evangelicals that has the idea that if your belief about God is different from mine, then you're going to hell. Everybody's going to hell in the whole world but the evangelical Christians that believe their way. That is a lie, because that would make God a cosmic killjoy and something to laugh at. Oh, isn't this hysterical? All these people, some people on the other side of the globe, have no way of even understanding what an English book says about a deity that they cannot relate to in any form. And then you're going to say, see, all that don't bow the knee to me will be cast into a burning hell. No, who is he talking to? Who was a writer writing to when he wrote that those words? Was it the poor Aborigines that don't even know that a Bible exists? You see, we have to stop utilizing craziness to try to get someone to believe in God. I told you, God is ticked off at America because America will not extol him. We will tear up this planet before we give vent to the God that created this beautiful world. And if we continue to blow up, strip mine, and overheat the ozones, causing the ice caps to melt, and we're doing it for the sake of money and all that kind of stuff, God's going to judge us, because humankind, as I heard one of the Dakota Indians say, once the water is gone, we're gone. See, the main thing for that pipeline and for those Dakota Indians and all the tribes around, I have to go back to the news and read up on that Vice News. That's where I need to go, because Vice News is going to show you what's going on. These other news, NBC, ABC, CBS, no, that's all insane asylum. You aren't getting the news. You're getting what they want you to have. So now, here we are, we're confronted with reality. And God says, how are you going to respond to that reality in the world that I left you in? How are you going to respond to my reality? Because my reality is, I want you to live this way. See, if you read that word, that's why I say at the end of every webcast, whatever you do, you know the drill. Stay in the word. The unfortunate thing with us is that we want to believe that we are into the word when we're not. Because the person that's supposed to be suggesting to you what the word is saying is lying to you. And that's just all there is to it. You can tell that because if you were into the word yourself, you would know what the word teaches. What does the word teach about us going to church on Sunday morning? Do you think God's going to bless me more because I went to Trinity Baptist this morning? I haven't been to church in well over 2 years, going on 3 years, because I just don't attend there. But I wanted to, I just said, man, I want to go. And I went to an old traditional institution. I didn't go to one of these new worship centers because I don't know what they're doing up in there, man. They don't even pick up a Bible. You know, and I have to admit this, Tunsdale quoted a few scriptures, and that's a good thing to do, but I think that it was more emphasis put on the announcement than on the word of God. Now, that's just my opinion. Because I'm one that just believes in the only things that should ever be stated in the church house is the word of God. Nothing else. Shouldn't talk about politics. Shouldn't talk about anything. A lady gave a nice presentation about prostate checking, you know, to check them in for their prostate, but that's a good thing too, but you know, I think that the pulpit is only to be used for the explanation of God's word to God's people so that their lives will be God-fearing. I've also been wrestling this week with the ideas whether a Christian could leave God so bad that they would be honoring Satan and at the same time thinking that they are promised eternal life. That's what I've been thinking this week. And I said, oh man, now that would be a paper to write on. But what I would have to do is I would have to attach each of my answers, if that is plausible or not plausible, I would have to attach each of my answers to the living, breathing Word of God. And I just can't make a statement and say, well, it doesn't matter if you know God or not. I'm going to tell you, if God had not revealed himself to me the way he did in 1967 and then again in 1982, and again in 1997, when I had one of the worst series of days in my life, if I did not know God, I would have been dead. And I know people, my wife may be one of them, because she used to tell me, I don't like what I'm seeing here. She said, these people in this church are treacherous against you. She would tell me, they don't love you, John. They're not like you. And then you know what I would say to Lucy? I would say, but look what I'm doing. I'm keeping their kids out of jail. I remember one time one lady called me. She said, oh, John, my son's been shot. He's up in Killer King. At that time, it was Martin Luther King Hospital out in Compton. And they had incompetence. Oh, Jesus. I never forget the night I went down there to see her son. He'd been shot up. And he recognized me. And they had him kind of like in a, I guess it was a quasi-intensive care. It was quite difficult and quite different. I grabbed his hand because they had him tied to the bed. He wanted to pull the IVs out. And he said, Pastor John. I said, relax, son. You've been shot. He says, no. I know I've been shot. I know who shot me. He said, but get me out of here. Get me out of here. I said, what are you talking about? He said, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me, Pastor John. I said, no, these people are here to help you. Now, you have to keep it in mind. He didn't have no medical insurance. His family didn't have it. He's here on the county thing. Well, of course, he's not with us today. And I don't think it was my job to blow the whistle, but I was seriously concerned about it, and he died shortly after. Black lives matter. Anybody's life matters. But now I think that what we have to do is we have to look at that very, very closely. Weigh our options and know where we are headed, what we are doing, what we are saying, what is going on. And so let's keep everything balanced like that. All right. Things pop up on a Sunday afternoon sometime, and things pop up, so I got to go. Thank you for spending some time to take with me on Sunday. Check out that U.S. government website thing on the executive order. Okay, that was executive order. Don't forget, I gave it to you, executive order 13603. Read under consultant section 502 and then one of the sections down in 701, I think it is. Very troubling things. That's when martial law kicks in. Everything's cut off. Everything is new and fantastic. Ooh, wow. How do we survive? Thank you so much for coming to my site. Stay in the Word.